CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. We appreciate you joining us here on a beautiful, beautiful North Carolina Sunday evening as we record this, as always, on the Inside Carolina Network of Podcasts. This is the Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Joey Powell. Sherelle McMillan and Sean Moran join me as usual. And we appreciate you guys taking some time out of your lives to download and listen to what we got to say, talking about basketball, recruiting, and all of that stuff that goes into the UNC basketball stew. If you have not, take a second to rate and review us, please. We appreciate that. It goes a long way with regard to getting this podcast and all of IC's podcasts up in the algorithms so that when people search for us, they find us, which means more people listen to us, which means more ad revenue, which means better content, which means everybody wins. Take a second, rate, review us. If you don't like what we're doing, give us a heads up too. We don't want to put crap out there, right? So we appreciate you guys who have given us ratings and reviews. If you wouldn't mind, if you haven't done one of those and you've thought about it, just take a second. I would really appreciate it. And if you don't, Sherelle's daughters will cry. With that said, we appreciate you guys joining us. Thanks to Johnny T-Shirt for sponsoring. We'll get into mentioning them in a little bit, but make sure you subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the Inside Carolina channel there. And make sure if you're not a premium subscriber to Inside Carolina, whoo dog, after these past 4 weeks, you are missing all of the goodness. Basically, if you are Inside Carolina premium subscriber, you have kind of been a de facto co-roommate of Sherelle McMillan, because the man has lived on the site for the past 4 weeks, just giving you guys goodness. And Sean Moran is not far behind with all of the new offers and new scouting reports that he's had to put up. And guys, why don't we just go ahead and get into it? I think the first thing that folks are probably going to want to hear about is a new offer, and they've been coming hot and heavy from the transfer portal. But also, this is just a brand new class of 22 high school recruit. And if you listen to this podcast regularly, you'll know here on the Coast to Coast that we have talked about this young man before. And I remember him because he's from freaking Nebraska, Grand Island, Nebraska, to refresh your memories. 6'9 forward from the class of 22, Isaac Trout. I'm going to start with Sean. Sean, tell everybody what we remember about Isaac Trout's game. Again, 6'9, 205, 210, somewhere around there. Traditional power forward type, but let everybody know what they can expect to see from his game and how he might fit into what we think Hubert Davis and his staff are going to deploy as far as an offense goes.
Yeah, so this is really Hubert's first high school offer. And I know UNC had been looking at him kind of in the wintertime, didn't offer when they were, but here we are in the spring. So what you're going to see is really a stretch four. Trout is a guy that is comfortable in the post. He can score in the post, but he can also move, and he can also shoot. He shot 37% from the 3-point line as a junior. He's got, you know, good shot mechanics, but you also notice at times during his high school season, he'd bring the ball up the court and basically play de facto point guard. So he does have some ball handling ability. I think in his high school league, you know, you'd see them running double team, triple team, create, you know, crazy defenses at him just because he was so much bigger than the players he was playing against. But he's very skilled. I think athletically, he's not going to blow anybody away, you know, within, you know, his explosiveness. But at the same time, I'd probably give him, you know, average on athletic ability, but he does have some length, which makes up for it. So, you know, he can catch the ball at the 3-point line and he can attack off the dribble. So I think for him, he is a true modern day four, where he's not going to spend all his time at the perimeter like I think you see a lot of players. But as I said, he's comfortable in the post, but he's got a good shot out to three, and he can attack off the dribble when needed. So He's definitely an interesting player that has gotten a lot better over the last year. I think there's a ton of Big 10, Big 12, some ACC schools that have, you know, paid him a lot of attention the last few months. So we'll see where UNC kind of slots in there. But once again, he's a very skilled and talented player that Hubert offered.
And it would seem, based on the write-up that Sherelle put on Inside Carolina, that Coach Brad Frederick is actually the lead angler going after Trout here. See what I did there? Sherelle, do you want to give anybody some ideas on what it might take to get him in the boat or how his recruiting process has gone thus far?
Yeah, it's been uneven from a Carolina standpoint. I think they were, as Sean said, they were trying to decide exactly what they wanted in the class of 2022. And they really had no idea until the season was, you know, ended, with everything we were talking about, whether or not they were going to have to fill multiple holes at in the post or, you know, kind of at the four spot. And then since Hubert Davis has taken over, what we've seen is an offer to Christian Bishop from the Midwest, who kind of wants to do more of the stretch four thing. A commitment from Brady Manick, who is a stretch four from the Midwest, who that will be his role. We'll talk about him later. And now Isaac Trout, a stretch four from the Midwest. So I think really when we found out about the offer on Friday night, just a few hours after Manick's commitment, it kind of cemented what we think Hubert Davis is going to do, just in that everything he's done, everything he said publicly, what we've heard privately, always comes back to spacing and shooting. And I think Trout helps provide that if you're able to get him, because, you know, Manick is going to graduate and there's going to be kind of a spot to fill there. Even though Justin McCoy has 3 years of eligibility, you know, he's just one guy. And mm-hmm. if you're going to play a system that requires multiple shooters in order to create spacing, then you need multiple shooters. And I think that's where Trout definitely comes in. And then I like him a lot, too, because some of these guys who are 6'9 and 6'10, they forget that and they stay and live on the 3-point line. And if you watch some of his film and his highlights, he remembers at times that he's 6'10 and he just goes into the paint, just, you know, throws up a hook shot over people. So that's one of the things I really like about him. And then Eric Bossy, 24/7 Sports' national recruiting director, is very, very high on him. He's seen him a few times. And when Bossy talks, I generally listen. So it seems like a good offer for UNC. But again, the competition is going to be very, very stiff. You know, with recruiting opening up on June 1st, we'll see if he decides to visit Chapel Hill. That's a thing again, like guys going to campus and visiting.
Oh yeah. We should have spent more time on that to open the show. That's actually right, a great point.
So we'll see if he makes the trip and how the kind of things go from there.
And it, you know, it does sound like this staff has actually started really fishing the same waters out in the Midwest. I mean, it's between Trout and Manick. And like you said, the Bishop offer, who knows what comes next, but let's hope that the Tar Heel staff can lure someone, if not a guy like Trout, can bring someone like that to the boat. You mentioned the Brady Manick commitment, and I want to spend some time with that. If you haven't, all of you listening right now, Sherelle and Tommy did an emergency podcast right after his commitment on Friday evening. Great insight, talked a little bit about how that whole thing happened from a timeline standpoint. But what I'd like to do now is spend a little more time talking about his game. The beauty about Brady Manick is he's played 4 years with Power Five competition at a good program in Oklahoma. So he doesn't lack for film. But Sean, this is kind of your wheelhouse. You did a great write-up on Inside Carolina on the premium message boards, kind of just doing a basic scouting report about Manick's game. I wondered if you could elaborate a little bit or go into some more of maybe the stuff that jumps out at you on film that maybe you didn't put pen to paper on.
Yeah, I mean, I think in all the articles, it's mentioned that he's hit 235 threes on his career. So I think it's good to start with that. And as you mentioned, he did play all 4 years at Oklahoma. He was actually a guy I got to see a few games into his freshman year in person back when Trae Young was a freshman. And even at that point, he was starting. He was playing the four next to Kadeem Latin at the time, who was more of your, you know, athletic shot blocking center, not a lot of skill offensively. And I remember, you know, even at that time he was draining threes, and obviously that continued throughout his career. And, you know, really when you look at him, he is a spot up shooter. Over 50% of his shots really each year come from the 3-point line, but He's got a very quick release. So it doesn't, he doesn't need a lot of time. And when you add that a big is guarding him, it makes it even easier when all you need is a little jab step to get some space. You know, I think the main thing is his stats as well as his efficiency decreased from junior year to senior year. And I think there's a few reasons for that. So I would expect to see him back at his junior year level. You know, this past year he missed, I think it was only two games, but he did miss two games because of COVID. And then after that, there's also some injuries he was dealing with. But third is their main player, Austin Reeves, you know, really a good player, will probably end up getting drafted in the second round, but he was a very ball dominant guard, 6'5", could handle the ball. And oftentimes when watching Oklahoma, he was handling the ball for 20, 25 seconds of the possession, operating in the pick and roll, pulling up, not really involving, even though he had a high assist percentage, not really involving his teammates a lot, I thought. So the Oklahoma this year, I thought, was a little bit different than in years past. So I think when you kind of combine those three, that it all makes for why his stats dropped. But at the same time, he was still shooting at a very, very high level. But once again, beforehand, he was Big 12 honorable mention, third team all Big 12. And then this year, nothing. So I think at Chapel Hill, he'll be able to get back to that junior year. But once again, you have the size and you have the shooting ability. Is he going to, you know, be the dominant shot blocker that Sharp was? Definitely not, but he can block off the help side, and he moves his feet well enough that he can, you know, he can switch and stay with players, but his main thing is shooting, and that's what everybody at UNC has been clamoring for. So here's a very proven shooter coming to Chapel Hill after 4 years.
And, you know, you mentioned that he came in with Trae Young and then with Reeves this past year. To be able to average double figures with the volume of scoring that Trae Young did and then playing along who he's played against or he's played with since then, yeah, that means the guy's probably doing his job fairly well. All right. Shrill, I want to see if you wouldn't mind speaking as to – I think a lot of folks are assuming Manning's going to come in and start. With Justin McCoy's commitment recently, I do think he'll probably get a certain amount of minutes as well. But how do you think that Manning plugs into the roster as it currently sits? You know, again, there's a lot of question factors about, you know, does Bacot come back? And we'll talk about the roster as a whole towards the end of the show. But how do you think Manning slots right now? Does he walk in and immediately get starters minutes?
Yeah, I don't think there's promises given, because that's just not how Carolina is going to do things under Davis, just like they didn't do it under Roy Williams. But I think when you look at what they need and what they want and how it would complement Armando Bacot were he to come back, I don't see how, you know, Brady Manning comes to UNC and isn't the starter, just because all of that experience. And then the biggest need on the team for UNC is shooting, and he adds that in spades. So there's no way, unless he gets hurt or Justin McCoy becomes, you know, the greatest transfer of all time, I just don't see him not in the starting lineup. And, you know, you think about the potential North Carolina lineup, you know, you kind of assume, you start talking about Kerwin Walton, he's, you know, back and likely the starting two, Caleb Love, likely the point guard again. And then you have Manning, and then you have Bacot. That's four strong offensive players, assuming the normal advancement, you know, during the offseason, the guys get better.
Wide array of skills too, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. Very versatile. So yeah, I think he really is the perfect, he was the perfect transfer for UNC at the moment, because he, their biggest need, he addressed it.
Sean, I'm going to ask you this question. Rel, I'm going to come back to ask you the same thing. Scale of 1 to 10, how big of a splash is this? It feels like a big deal. Am I overthinking things? Sean, 1 to 10. 10 being the biggest splash.
I'll go with an 8, which I think is pretty high for me. Because once again, I think it brings in shooting, it brings in a guy with experience. I know, you know, Bishop, I think, would have been interesting. And, you know, he would have been fun on the fast break. But I think with what he was looking to do, you know, he wasn't, at least, you know, once, a lot can happen over the summer, but he wasn't offering that shooting ability. And here, but at the same time, he was offering, you know, the ability to switch for, you know, play more of a 4-3 almost, especially defensively. But once again, here you're getting a guy that's coming in for 1 year, high level proven shooter. So at the same time, when you're recruiting big men, whether it's high school or the transfers next year, there's going to be immediate playing time, because you can assume if Armando comes back, he'll most likely be gone after that year. And we know Brady Manning will be gone. So there's the open playing time as well. And once again, it fulfills a position of need. So I think it's an eight, but also something else, you know, when Hubert's made, you know, he offered McCoy, he offered Manning, he offered Bishop. I was kind of worried he was going to be tossing out offers, but really all three of the transfers, he's got two to commit. And the only reason, you know, Bishop didn't was Manning committed ahead of him. So they've been pretty focused so far. So it'll be interesting to see how that extends to the high school circuit, but overall it's a big splash and definitely will help them next year.
Sherelle, 1 to 10.
So I'll go Sean and say an eight. Actually I'll probably go nine. It's almost close to perfect. I mean, you just can't find, the thing that you need the most often in the portal. And they did. And I think if you add him to McCoy, then I think it's a 10, because those are both positions of need. They're both helping you to transition into a little bit of a different style of offense, we think. They're key parts of that. And then, you know, when we talked about Hubert Davis, we said the two big things for his staff and how he does things are identification and communication. And just looking at how everything worked out, they identified them very quickly, communicated very fast, and got two commitments, you know, within his first 8 days. So to me, that answers a question already. I'm not saying it's answered final, but that gives some insight into how he's going to do things, because the two areas in recruiting that we said, okay, maybe they can work on this, they nailed, you know, with these two guys.
And I want to make a point to shout out the folks on IC who are already panning Hubert Davis within a week of landing the job, because Walker Kessler did not come back. I have no time for that. And I hope those folks will recognize that he specifically in 10 days identified two players from major programs that fit areas of just identified gaps in North Carolina's offense and got them to commit to come play for North Carolina without having, again, that's not perfect, but I don't know what you're expecting. Like people wanted him to have the ghost of John Wooden and the corpse of Red Auerbach on his coaching staff. And if he didn't get that, they're going to be mad. People want to be, if he doesn't bring in actual Larry Bird, not a guy that looks like Larry Bird, but actual Larry Bird and Julius Erving from the transfer portal, people are going to be mad. I'm glad you guys pointed out that this was an eight or a strong even nine, I think Sherelle said, because he's absolutely filled some gaps with two players who have experience at big time programs. And I don't think you can ask for more from that, from a young coach. With that said, I'm going to jump off my soapbox for a second and talk about our friends over at Johnny T-Shirt. Hey, look, it's Sunday as we're recording this. Had a nice lunch in town on Franklin Street Friday, stopped over at nice little Greasy Spoon, got me the two hot dog combo. It was amazing. It was good to be back inside. I'll go ahead and say it. Shout out to Sutton's Drugstore. had a great lunch at Sutton's. And after that, you know what I did? I went to Johnny T-Shirt. Went down to Johnny T-Shirt, grabbed me a UNC Nike dry fit baseball shirt. I am like Sherelle. I am one that never has enough Nike dry fit gear. And Johnny T-Shirt's a place for it. Hit them up, johnnytshirt.com. If you don't want to shop in the store, they will bring it to your car. They'll do the curbside delivery, all that good stuff. They do require a mask if you go in there. It's just because they're trying to protect you. And if you want to shop from the glorious luxury of your own home with your feet up on your recliner, or if you're sitting on the can using your phone, whatever you want to do, you can order from johnnytshirt.com. And they ship so quickly, it's almost like you're going to pick it up yourself. Johnny T-Shirt has all the gear from all the name brands you want for every single sport you can think of, just university stuff, different sports, whatever. I mean, you know what? I even saw they have a really cool looking dog leash. I don't have a dog, but man, if I did, he would have that leash. UNC branded, nice little woven collar. I mean, it's pretty solid. Johnny T-Shirt, we love them. We hope you love them. Inside Carolina premium subscribers, get the extra 10% off the top. Make sure you use your code like I did, save your money off the top of what they're already saving you, get good gear. I don't know of a better equation for you. With that said, thanks to Johnny T-Shirt. Take a quick break, let the national guys come in and run some advertisements, and we will be right back on the Coast to Coast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Thanks for sticking around on the Coast to Coast podcast here on the InsideCarolina.com network of podcasts. I'm Joey Powell. With me, as always, the two guys with the eyes that are here to dramatize and not legalize the information that you seek about basketball recruiting, basketball playing, all of that, yada, yada, woo, woo, Cheryl McMillan, Sean Moran. All right, guys, we've talked about the offer and the commitment. Let's talk about a guy that's been on UNC's radar for quite some time in Deontay Green. And Cheryl, I think you had a chance to see him at the Tournament of Champions recently. Talk a little bit about how Deontay Green might fit at UNC.
Right. Deontay Green. I hadn't seen him actually in person. So that was the first time. Watched lots of games and highlights and everything, but he didn't really come on to the Carolina radar until after the coronavirus pandemic hit. So no opportunity to see him. And that was actually my first time in a gym watching basketball since late January of 2020. So it was strange. It was
in between writing commitment articles and and scoops, you actually took some time to go sit in a gym and watch some guys play. Yeah, I've never seen anybody more dedicated than you, but please carry on.
It was weird, but it was cool to watch him because the team they were playing was clearly overmatched. I mean, he plays for Team CP3, mm-hmm. which for those who don't know is on Nike's EYBL circuit. And CP3 always has a good team. They're always pretty loaded. This particular team has several high major guys, including Jaden Bradley, who has a Carolina offer. The other team was overmatched. But what I was looking for, I wasn't keeping stats. I just wanted to see the basic stuff, how he moved his feet, how his hands were, kind of where he set up the most. You know, is he in the high post or is he hanging around the perimeter? How does he get up and down the court? If he dribbles, does it look halfway decent? How's, you know, just all that basic stuff. And actually, I came away with a better impression of him than I had from the film I watched. He looked more athletic in person than he did on some of the film and some of the games. And I think for Green, you know, at UNC, obviously the stretch four is a big deal. I think for him, the niche he can carve out is that he self-reported at 6'10", 205. So at 6'10", you know, I think you can play some center. You can be the small ball center. You can be the guy, not necessarily like a banger in the post or anything.
And not a full-on rim protector either, but yeah.
Right, not a full-on rim protector, but somebody who can give you a presence in the paint. And I don't think if he were to commit to UNC, I don't think they would ask him to do that for 30 minutes a game or be the full-time starting five, but having that versatility makes him more attractive to UNC because he can play, you know, that besides someone like Isaac Trout or besides someone like Justin McCoy. Now, I think the thing he needs to continue to prove on, and we talked to him about it after the game, is his rebounding, and he is cognizant of it. He's aware, and it's something that he is putting in work, for lack of a better phrase, and improving on. And that's one of the reasons that he had the option to reclassify into 2021. One of the reasons he's not going to do that is because he feels like he needs more seasoning. He feels like he can grow more as a high school player, working out and everything, than reclassifying into 21 and then kind of being stuck on the bench and not really being developed that way because he doesn't get an opportunity to play. So all in all, you know, I think Hubert Davis will accept the mantra from Roy Williams about, you know, trying to get the top player in North Carolina every year if he's good enough to play at UNC. And I do think Deontay Green is good enough to play at UNC.
And it sounds like that there hasn't been a lot of drop off between staffs as far as contact and interest. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, his offer has been reaffirmed by Hubert Davis. So it is not a situation where he kind of has like a lame duck offer.
Right.
They're still recruiting him.
I'm glad you shared that about his prescience and recognizing his own need to become a better rebounder. That's really refreshing to hear from a kid of his age. So yeah, hate to try to sound like I'm 65 years old, but I swear it's just really refreshing to hear somebody say that about, you know, knowing what they need to work on.
Yeah, and I'll add too, Joey, just talking to him and the family, there's definitely it's going to sound pretentious when I say it, but there are certain things that you identify that you relate to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Just kind of it's hard to put your finger on it, but just kind of a innocence isn't the right word, but a down homeness, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah.
And I think that's
well rooted.
I think that's what Green and his family have. It reminds me a lot of Kobe White's family, of De'Ron Sharp's family, of Theo Pinson's family, of the people around Reggie Bullock. Just kind of that feel. And North Carolina did well with Roy Williams with those kind of recruitments. And I think there's no doubt that they'll do well with Hubert Davis in this kind of recruitment. And the other thing to add on, and then I'll stop, is that Hubert Davis was his primary recruiter as an assistant. So when you start to see how things kind of work out, you
gotcha.
Know, maybe the guys who Hubert Davis was a primary assistant on might have a leg up on some of the other guys who had offers. So just throwing that out there too.
No, that makes a ton of sense. And it kind of follows an easy logic chain there. Sean, I want to kick to you for a little bit. I know that you've seen some of Green's tape. Based on some of the things that Sherelle saw about, you know, some improved footwork and a little bit of better speed, how do you feel like that improves his game overall? And you know, knowing what you've seen is what his weaknesses are, do you feel like that would kind of elevate him and make him a better fit at North Carolina? Or do you still feel like it's a pretty good fit anyway, but considering that he may be a project to some degree?
No, I think what Sherelle said, that's great to hear, because the two main questions about Green coming in, one just kind of his quickness, his athletic ability, his explosiveness kind of meshed together, never really came off on the film that you're watching. You know, you saw somebody that at 6'10 could run up and down. He could shoot, you know, had a good release, but the quickness just never really came off. So kind of hearing about either the improvement or just kind of seeing him in person is great to hear. Because I know for Green, he was, I think, one of the last offers that was made in that class. And at the time, even going back a handful of podcasts, I think the question was he a UNC level or was he NC State level? And I think if the quickness is improving, then I definitely think it's UNC level, especially given the height, the height and the skill, where you can, once again, kind of play the five, you know, almost two positions basically. So still has a lot of time left to improve with the spring, summer, and a full year. And it sounds like as he continues to grow, that his ceiling will grow with it. So I think that's all positive and always good to get in-person evaluations after all the film that we've been, you know, watching really over the last 13 or so months.
Well, and hey, that's you just dropped a quote on us too. That'll absolutely be a great win for listeners. And that is he a UNC recruit, an NC State recruit. So kudos to you for playing the hits. Hey, I want to give a special apology. I forgot that I was using my Zoom for work and just happened to click us back into gallery mode. So forgive me for those of you who've been seeing this in speaker format on YouTube until now. Forgive me for forgetting that, but I did make the change. So at least for the last little bit of this, you'll be able to see the aforementioned gallery view as opposed to speaker view. All right, last thing. And this is where I'm going to try to ask a question that I know is on a lot of UNC fan and Inside Carolina subscribers' minds. I want both of you guys to try to handle this as honestly, but with the soft bain de soleil, lotiony hands that might help get this message across without actually, you know, damaging anything or being too cross, because I'm the guy that's usually the harsh one around here. So guys, everybody wants to know why UNC doesn't have a backup center yet. I think with Armando Bacot testing the draft, folks look at the roster, and gosh knows it's been 3 days since somebody's committed, but I think people are getting a little heartburn about not seeing a backup center on the roster. And the first thing I would say, hypothetically, if it were me, I would say, hey, guys, you all wanted more four out and one in offense. Well, we're recruiting four out and one in guys, we being UNC. Am I stretching a little bit here? Sherelle, is this backup center need something that should have been filled yesterday, or would some patience actually pay off here for UNC fans and IC subscribers?
Oh, you know, I'm all about patience. So I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. So patience is what I live daily.
I assumed you were out of it at this point. But yes, go ahead.
No, I think the answer is we don't know, because we are assuming we know what Hubert Davis wants to do based upon some of the things he said publicly and privately and how he's recruiting. But we don't know. So it could be a situation where they absolutely do want a backup five. But there are 1,300 plus people in the portal. And if you're talking about, let me go back. In the high school ranks right now, there's no one who is considering UNC who fits the bill, you know, that I know of. There could be someone lower ranked. There could be someone yet to decommit or ask out of their letter of intent. So put high school aside for now, because there doesn't seem to be anyone considering UNC, right? So then you talk about the portal. It's 1,300 people in there. And the kind of person that you're talking about, a backup four or backup five, Armando Bacot is poised, if he returns, to be a first team all ACC type player who's going to command a ton of minutes. I know he can get into foul trouble and all that, but you're asking someone to come in and say, hey, you're a backup. You might play 10 minutes a game if, you know, Carolina's winning, or if Armando gets in foul trouble, maybe you'll play 13. But after that, you know, that's probably where you're going to top out.
Boy, so you make it sound so attractive, Sherelle. I can't believe there aren't 1,000 guys that want to play here now.
So that is a hard sell. So that's one thing you have to say. Then two, again, we don't know how Hubert Davis wants to play. Maybe he is perfectly content with Brady Manick, Justin McCoy, and Armando Bacot as his three bigs. And that if Armando Bacot gets in foul trouble or injured or what have you, then Manick or McCoy is your, I don't even say starting center, you're starting two fours. And then you have someone like Dontre Styles, who then becomes the third big if Armando is hurt, and if he returns and he's hurt or he's in foul trouble or anything. So there is roster flexibility to be able to do that with what they have now. And so I think the math just is whatever, just a guy. He's not going to be a dude. If you're going to get him into the portal at this point, he's going to be a guy.
Right.
is the guy that
a
you can warm get
body.
From the portal. Right, is the guy that you can get from the portal at 13 minutes a game better than just rolling with McCoy, with Manick, and to some degree with Styles. So I think that's the math that they're trying to go after or trying to look at. But the honest answer is we just don't know, because we don't know if he wants to have four bigs. Maybe he wants another four, you know, we don't know. So I would urge to back to what you said. I would urge patience, because this year players can enter the portal until July 1st. So, you know, who's to say that perfect backup center doesn't decide to enter the portal on June 15th. Well, if you've already panicked and signed someone, you know, on April 17th, then you can't get that guy. Obviously, you're not waiting for, you know, like the magic person to come, but I think just prudence is probably key now, because at worst, you have depth at every position. At worst, you have three bigs. Whether or not they're a true five or a stretch four or whatever, you have three bigs at worst. At worst, you have your guards, you have your wings, you have your shooters, you're good to go. So now I think you have to be patient, because you're probably, I don't know if they're going to use both scholarships, but you're looking to add, you know, someone to do a special, very precise thing. And so you're going to take your time when you're looking for that. So I agree with you that patience is needed. But we don't know if patience is needed, because we don't know if they really want a backup five. That's something right. We're going to try and figure out, but we just don't know.
I think it's important too, and I probably should have done some basic deconstruction math before we started this topic. There aren't but so many 6'10 and taller human beings walking on this earth. There are, so when you consider how many of those are now playing basketball, it's less. How many of those are in the transfer portal, it's less. And then when you start adding these extra search criteria, you know, it's whittling that group down even more. So while there are 1,300 players in the portal as of right now, I think it's important for fans and IC subscribers to understand that there aren't 1,300 backup fives waiting in the portal. They're a small amount. And if you actually take a second, which I've done, and go through and look at who fit that bill, there's only a handful of them, and none of their stats jump off. Do you really want a guy from Southwest, Stone Creek University Tech College and hair drying school who averaged 2.3 points a game to come to UNC? Like, just because you want that body? I don't know that that answers the question. All that said, Sean, Sherelle touched on something I think you'd be great to elaborate on about how UNC might be able to massage who they have to get through next season, even without a backup five.
Well, one, I think, you know, Sherelle touched on pretty much everything, and I agree with him and you, Joey, as well. I think, once again, this part is, let's assume Armando comes back. If he doesn't, then, you know, then I think this conversation is more apt. But if he does, then you have three guys, two that are very proven and one that I think will be able to slot into kind of a great first guy off the bench for big. So if you look at all of, and once again, we're also looking at Roy Williams teams. We don't know what's a Hubert team going to look like, but you look at all those teams and it's often been, they've had three successful bigs. So you bring one guy off the bench, and you're able to just kind of rotate. Everybody's getting minutes, and everybody for the most part is happy. I think last year we saw the issue where you have not only four players for one spot that were playing a little out of position, but even the Notre Dame game where it was reduced to three, the flow just felt so much better in terms of timing. And you have Armando Bacot, who only averaged 24 minutes a game and was UNC's best player statistically. So I think you want him playing 30 plus minutes if he's back. You want Manic playing 30 plus minutes with his skill set. And then you want McCoy coming in. And he's, as we talked about last week, he spent his 2 years on the bench. He was starting to improve as a sophomore, and he should be able to, you know, make a sophomore to junior leap. So I think if you're adding a fourth guy, unless it's a freshman that has patience and can contribute 5'10", foul trouble, injury, you know, I'm perfectly fine rolling with three. Sherelle mentioned roster flexibility. Styles also adds that as well. And when you look at Manic and Bacot, you really have two fives. Manic played the center last year before. And while he's going to be outside shooting threes defensively, that's what he was playing the past 2 years. So right now, if Armando comes back, I think it's a great fit where you have the three that you know, and then you have Styles to get some of that time as a freshman and give him, the opportunities to get better little by little. So all that being said, I love it as long as Armando comes back. If he doesn't, then you definitely need another.
That's another a hell of a big caveat, but, brother.
right now, how it slots, I think it's perfect.
True.
And the only thing I would add is that Sean said something. He's like, Armando Bacot should play 30 minutes a game. And then he said, Manic should play 30 minutes a game. And in my head, I'm like, 30 minutes. And the first thing I thought was, there's no way Roy Williams is going to play Armando Bacot 30 minutes a game. And then, yeah. So I think what we're all going through and experiencing together is even though we know that Hubert Davis, you know, learned the game from Roy Williams, and Roy Williams recruited him, and there's the Coach Smith stuff and the Coach Guthrie stuff, I think we're still applying Roy Williams' sensibilities and trying to apply that to what we think Hubert Davis is going to do. And the simple fact is, right now, we don't know, and we won't know really until halfway through the season next year. So I think everybody, us included, has to just change our mindset a little bit and be more open, because when someone says something, we're like, well, that would never happen at Carolina because we're so used to how Roy Williams does it. I'm not saying that I know if Hubert Davis is going to go, you know, completely on the opposite direction, or if it's going to be the same thing with a stretch big. I don't know. But I think we all just have to be careful when we're applying those sensibilities, because Hubert Davis is the coach now, and it could be completely different. It could be the same. It could be a mix. We just don't know. So that's my advice to everyone, is that, like, the backup five, like, of course, Roy Williams would want a backup five because that's how he played, but we don't know if Hubert Davis is going to do that. So that's just my little, those would be my two pennies, or my one penny that Sean.
Your one penny. All right, Sean, you got two pennies for us?
No, I mean, I think just to add on to that, once again, when you look at probably 80 to 90% of the teams are playing really with one big, and now your four is what used to be a small forward. So if McCoy is playing the five, it's not the end of the world, especially given his rebounding ability. So I think that, you know, once again, Baylor had two bigs, but for the most part, most of the teams are going with one big. So I think even with that, it makes sense. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with Baycott. Hopefully he does come back, because once again, he made that freshman to sophomore year leap from a statistical standpoint, but was still getting, you know, 24 minutes. So I think we could definitely see that increase, and you have a lot of experience combined with a lot of different skill sets for next year. So Manic coming in is great, and we'll be looking forward to him bombing threes next year.
And, you know, this is what everybody wanted, right? Like, everybody wanted more spacing. They wanted to play a more modern brand of basketball. Well, if you can't have a more modern brand of basketball and then immediately lean right back into, well, where's my 2 7-footers that need to play, you know, 25 minutes each a game? Like, it doesn't work that way. But I digress. I'll stop being the old crotchety guy. Hey, look, this has been great. I appreciate you guys bringing the heat, as always. I love that we touched on a bunch of different stuff tonight. I hope this is enough to whet some of our subscribers' appetites, because I know the appetite's out there. And when news has been popping as quickly as it has, I see we've tried to do a great job of keeping up with it. But hopefully we can give you some things to tide you over for a little bit too, like looking at not only commits, but new offers and guys that have been on the UNC radar and how they're improving. And guys, I always appreciate the levity and the wisdom that you bring to this here show. So if nobody else tells you, I'm telling you right now, before we put a bow on this, I appreciate Sherelle. I appreciate Sean, because you're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you. That's going to do it for us this episode of the Coast to Coast podcast here on InsideCarolina.com. I want to give a special shout out to Johnny T-Shirt for sponsoring the show, for John Siegley for producing and putting it all together, and for Sherelle McMillan and Sean Moran. I'm just Joey Powell. We appreciate you tuning in with us. Check us out next time, and check out all of the Inside Carolina podcasts on InsideCarolina.com. We will talk at you down the road. Late.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.